Y'all could stand to your feet. I don't know about y'all, but I had a very hard week this week. And you know, I caught myself standing up and I said, God, I want to thank you for causing me to be able to stand, because God, it's only by your grace that I'm able to stand under such a hardship and trial. And so you're standing today because of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. And you know what? God will keep you on your feet. God will keep you in a state where you're protected, where there's provision, where there's favor. If you've had a week, I want you to begin to just raise your hands. If you've got something that you came in here troubled about, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. If you're suffering an addiction and you want to be free, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, your word says that you need a binder and that you need a looser. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bind up every hindrance that would try to come over this service, any distraction. God, and right now, I loose peace that passes all understanding. God, I ask that you would breathe recovery into the lives of your kids right now, God, in every single way. Lord, I loose peace, God, on each person, Lord, on their families and their finances, God. I thank you, God, that they have all that they need. God, they have much that they can share it with others. Lord, I ask that you would make us a blessing, and God, cause us to be a blessing. Lord, right now, I give this service over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And I am going to minister today. The title of this message is called Give God the Credit. Give God the Credit. I have learned if you want to be successful in life that you need to learn how to give honor and to give credit where honor and credit are due. You will not get anywhere in life when you heap that credit on yourself. You just can't be successful that way. I would like for you to turn to Daniel chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 24 through 28. And we've got King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's beginning to have dreams that are very unpleasant. Nobody could interpret the dreams. And we have Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 24, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But, everybody say but, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. There is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. And so here, Daniel, just like we all do, you know, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Just like Daniel was given an opportunity, he could have said, oh yeah, I can interpret that dream. I can do that. I'm so smart. I'm so great. God shows me things and I can do that. No, he didn't do that. What he said is no. And in fact, no other magicians, no diviners, no enchanters, none of those people could do what you've asked. Only the living God can do it. And there is a God. See, when people come to you and they're trying to give you credit for what you did not do, how many of you know that everything good that you've ever done was from God? Amen. He helped you to do it. He gave you the ability to do it. He said, you know what? No, but there's a God that can. There's a God that can. When you point people to God by giving God the credit, you better watch out. God will make you a soul winner. He that winneth souls is wise. But when you take that credit, you're telling that person, keep looking at me. How many of you you know in your life that you've been a disappointment at times. We don't like it, but we have. And we'll keep doing that because we're people. People disappoint people. We're not perfect. When we point people toward God, we're taking the attention off of ourselves and we're saying, you know what? I wasn't able to do that, but God through me did it. God through me did it. And that's exactly what Daniel said here. He said, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And he began to interpret that dream. He began to interpret the dream that nobody else could. And he gave that credit to God. He gave that credit to God. Let's go now to verse 46 and 47. Here's what happens when you give God the credit. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. See, you want to honor God with your life? Give him the credit. When you honor God in that way, he's going to honor you. Did you know that the living God can honor you? The living God can back you up. When everybody that told you they would be with you, when they all leave, God will back you. But see, you've got to have something inside of you that knows the word and knows that come hell or high water, I'm going to give God the credit. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stand in that gap. See, when nobody's there standing there with me, I'm going to keep standing in that place. Why? Because see, that's the place that God told me to be at. See, all this wishy-washiness and I'm up one day and I'm down the other. See, that won't cut it in the world that you're living in today, because there's a devil and he comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy from you. But see, when you allow God to have the credit that is his, God will come down in your situation and he will honor you for honoring him. And God honored Daniel. And God wants to honor you. Amen? He honored him. And this is what he said. Surely your God is the God of gods. Surely he is. See, when you do the right thing and you give God the credit for whatever people think that you did, you give God that credit, people's going to begin to glorify God because they've seen him work in your life. If they think it's you, the first time you mess up, you're going to be a dirty, rotten scoundrel. That's a problem with taking all the credit. At some point, you're going to have a mess up, and when you do, your name's going to be dirt. That's how it is. The same people that'll praise you is the same people that'll talk about you. That's what 4 years of pastoring has taught me. That's what 37 years of being a human has taught me. That's how that goes. Look here. Give God what's his. Give him what's his. Give him that honor. Give him that credit. Because see right here, people will come to know God just because of how you handled yourself. People will begin to know God and seek God out just because they saw God work in your life. There's messages that I could never preach, that I will never be able to reach people, and it's up to you. Everybody's the pastor of their own home. You better preach your message, and you better preach it well, because, see, you got an audience, and we're going to give an account for everything that we did, for everything that we said, for everything we didn't do. Amen? It says here, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Look here, give God the credit. Give him the credit. Amen. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to now give you reason to give God the credit. How many of you have children? I think they come out saying no and why. No and why, right? I'm going to give you a reason to give God credit. I'm going to give you a reason. I don't preach stuff that's not in the Bible. I'm going to give you chapter and verse. I'm not one of these pastors that can get up here and give you all the history of this, that, and the other. See, that's not the flavor of my ministry. But what I can do is help you to apply the Bible to your everyday life, to help you learn how to live in this chaotic world, and not only live, but thrive in it. And so here's reason. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. See, every single thing belongs to God. It belongs to him. People get angry. Well, God wants my life. He wants this part of my life. He wants it. Look here. Why don't you just cut through the nonsense? God wants your entire life. People get upset about tithing. Oh, God wants the 10%. No, look here. You really want to get down to the very bottom of it? He wants it all. He really does. He wants your whole life. He wants your whole life. He wants your choices. Guess what else he wants? Your failures. Why? So he can wash over them and make them better. He wants every bit of your success. He wants every bit of your depression. Why? So he can replace it with joy. We have to learn how to give God credit. And one of the one things that we have to realize on our venture to giving God credit is this right here. Everything is God's. Everything is his. Your very next breath that you're going to breathe out of your body is his. And he gave it to you. That's reason enough. Now, this preaching is going to be real today. And if that makes you uncomfortable, that probably means you need to get on the app and listen to it again when you're done here. It's hitting a nerve. Amen? Go with me now to Acts chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 22 through 28. Here's Paul. It says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. You know, my observation is more than even people that aren't saved, religious people love taking credit for the things that God does. They love doing that. You know why? Because it makes them feel holier. Makes them feel better. Makes them feel like they did it. Sometimes I'm totally baffled why God called me to pastor. But Keisha, here's what God knows. At the end of the day, I know I'm not that intelligent. And you know what? I know that every single thing that God does, he deserves the credit for it. See, God taught me several years ago to give him the credit. Give him the credit. Why? Because look here, if you want something to grow and to flourish, you're going to give credit and credit to who it is due to. You want something to be everything that it can be, you give the one that gave it the credit for it. I see that in every way you are very religious, for as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. You know how many people commit suicide on a daily basis? You know how many of our teenagers, how many of our children, that thought crosses their mind at a young age? I'm going to read that one more time. Don't tell me God don't love his kids. God loves his kids. Don't tell me he didn't give you much thought, because this is just exactly how much thought that he gave you. From one man, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. See, when God made you, he made you and gave you the ability to get your inhabitants right there. Man, in the Genesis, he said, now you have dominion. You have it. And it says, he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God determined in what time era to put you in. How many of you like air conditioning? Amen. See, God knew that. Amen. I wouldn't be near as effective pastoring if I didn't have air conditioning. Look here, if I get hot, my mind is only on being hot. If I get cold, that's the only place my mind is at. I'd like to say it was on Jesus, but I got the attention span of a squirrel. And if something's going on, Kayla, I'll be sitting there. I got to make sure I'm well fed, because I'll be praying my best prayers. And I'm like, ooh, my gosh, I think I got a hankering for a sandwich. And there my mind goes on to the turkey and the cheese and the all the stuff I'm going to put on there. See, God set the times that you were going to live in. That's how much thought that he gave you. That's how much detail that he's putting into your life, that he's put there way before you were ever even born. See, there's things that he's going to bring about in your life. And if you want to go any further with him, you're going to give him the credit when those things come about. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I want to tell you today, God's not far from you. If you feel far from God, raise your hands and you begin to tell God, God, I feel far from you. Lord, help me to get close to you. For in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Here's one thing that I know, Cherie, is this right here. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our dwelling. Amen. In him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. You've never really lived till you've lived in him. You've never really tasted goodness until you've tasted of God. What does the word say? Taste of the Lord and see that he's good. See, God didn't bless you just for you to keep that to yourself. God didn't save you so you could keep that secret to yourself. God didn't free you up so you could keep that for yourself. Everything that God's done in your life, he gave that to you. And one of the things that he expects is for you to turn around, and when you see other people having that struggle, to give it back to them and say, you know what? There's a God that saved me from the very pit of hell. There is a God that when I was on my sickbed, he raised me up and he made me well. There was a God that when I was on my couch and I could not get up because the spirit of depression had come to rest on me. See, there was a God that lifted me up out of that. You know what? I can relate to people that are depressed. Amen. I get it. But you know what else I get? Getting your dang old pants on, getting your shoes on, and you getting your butt to God's house. You getting your butt to where God told you to be. Because you know what, Johnny? In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. Guess what? If I'm going to be depressed, I'm going to be depressed on the move. Because this old devil ain't going to get me going. Amen. But you know what? Give God that credit. People all the time, Pastor Kelly's so great. She does that food ministry. See, they don't want to tell me that because, see, I'll correct them. How many of you have ever heard me correct somebody when they try to give me the credit for the food? See, I don't like to take the credit for what God does. Why? I want him to keep doing it. I want to keep letting him. Look here. If I took the credit, it would have stopped with this table out there on the foyer and that was it. See, because that was my idea of food ministry. God had a different idea. And guess what? His was better. His was better. Whatever you think you can do in your life without God, you haven't seen nothing yet. You give God credit and give him a chance, he's going to take you more further than you could thought you could ever go. If you're going to take that credit, you're going to be stuck in places that you don't want to be in. People that like to take the credit most of the time, they are very insecure people. Very insecure people. Go with me now to Psalms 105. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Make known among the nations what he has done. Nations should know what God has done. But because Christians will not give God the credit, there are still nations that don't even know there is a God like our God that is Jesus Christ. Because, see, people like to act like they're so smart and they like to take the credit for things. Nations should know of God just as a result of Christians bragging on God. There's a breakdown and false pride in the hearts of believers that has to change. It has to change. Nations should know the goodness of God just by us telling it. It says, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praises to him and tell of all his wonderful acts. How many of you can say God has done some wonderful things in my life? May you never forget and may you never stop talking about what he's done. May you never stop talking about what he's done. Back in the Easter season, I went to church with Frank. And I enjoyed it. You know why I enjoyed it? Because I got to sit in church and not do anything. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. I didn't worry about who was hot and who was cold. I wasn't worried about what they was thinking about, what I was wearing or whatever. I just sat there like a bump on a log, Mitzi. I was eating that up. I'm trying to figure out, sweetie, where was I going with that? I'll figure it out here in a minute. I'm going to get that thought back. We were in Dinner Bucket yesterday, and Dad was calling. How many of you ever gone to Dinner Bucket? How many of you know Melissa? He was calling her Michelle. He has called her Melissa for like 20-something years, and all of a sudden yesterday he started calling her Michelle. And I was like, and he said, Michelle, I'm sorry, that Alzheimer's is trying to get a hold of me, and you know, I think it's trying to get on me, and I'm resisting that. I'm going to figure out where I was going with his church business, okay? Until I figure it out, let's go to Psalms 127. I'll get it. It may be at the very last minute. I'll get it. Oh, yeah, I remember. I was going somewhere with that thought. I was trying to tell y'all to tell everybody, to tell the nations about the good things that God's done for you. How many of you were just terrible in science and math? I literally had a deal with my math teacher, and I said, look, I can make you a lot of trouble. But I promise to be good and keep my head down and sleep all through your class and not make no trouble if you'll just pass me. I got a better grade than the smart kids. That's no joke. I got a 92. I got out of line one time and he said, Kelly, do you remember our deal? I said, yes, sir. I just put my head down and went to sleep. But there ain't no way other than Jesus and a little manipulation I'm going to pass this class. God help me do it. Now, if you don't have a sense of humor, you got problems. But I went to church this Friday. And I'm over here looking across the aisle, and I see Mr. Stephen Morgan. He taught science and biology and all that stuff that I've always been terrible about. And he looked, and he looked confused. He said, hi, Kelly. And I said, well, hey, Mr. Stephen Morgan. This is my husband, Frank. And he looked real confused. And then he goes, she always likes to talk. Frank goes, nothing has changed. She's a pastor now. But look here. If you want to talk about something, stop talking about your problems and talk about the last time God did something for you. Because, see, you're going to talk about something. You need to glorify God and give him the credit. Amen. Psalms 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Look here. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in it belongs to God, including us. Now, unless the Lord builds the house, unless he is building your life, unless he is watching over everything that concerns you, it's all in vain. So when he does build your house, and build your life up. How many of you, you're in a good place in your life and you're happy? May you never forget how you got to that place. Because how many of you can remember a place of misery and irritation and awful things? Amen. So unless the Lord builds the house. See, let's turn that around. If you feel like God has built your house and built your life and gotten you up out of places you didn't want to be, you best be telling of that instead of all the other junk. Because look here, you know how quickly things can turn? I'm not saying God's going to give you your junky life back. I'm just saying, look here, you best give him the credit. You best give him the credit. Why? Because he's going to send people upon your path that they want what you've got. They don't know how to get it. They want to be free and recovered. They don't know how to do it. God has put you in your life to tell other people about how you got there. Now, you're going to either do that or you're not. But see, God's wanting that out of his people. Because your house wouldn't have been built without him. I was telling Dad the other day, he said, Kelly, don't be stressed and don't be that. And I just looked over at him and said, you know what, really, honestly, I'm not even really that stressed. Because you know what, God, I am not holding this together. And what a relief that is. What a relief that is. You're not holding everything together. God is. When's the last time you just threw your hands and said, God, I just thank you for holding my life together. God, I thank you for keeping me. God, I thank you for everything that you've done. When's the last time you were in a crowd of people and they were all talking about how awful life was and you just said, you know what, God has been so good to me. God has kept me. God has given me the life that I've always wanted. God supplies all of my needs. God has healed my family. God has healed the brokenness in my life. See, when's the last time that you just really got that heart of thankfulness and you just began to tell it? Give God what's his. See, I'm not up here trying to preach to you something foreign. Give God what's his. What's his? Glory. The word says if you won't praise him, the rocks, he'll cause the rocks to cry out and to begin to praise him. Now, you're going to either do your job or you're going to let a rock do it. That's our option. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. We can't take credit for God's building. Never take credit for what God is doing. Our works must accurately reflect God's work in our lives. Many times it's a matter of pride. It's a matter of pride why we won't give that credit to God. And I can preach this because I've lived it. Before I was in the, first of all, I've been in the ministry my whole life, but I had a 14-year career in the medical field that I was very good at. And God literally, Brenda Bay, He blessed the work of my hands to the point where I got that facility hundreds of thousands of dollars in the free and in the clear. But I messed up in one area of my life, and this is why I can preach about it today, is because God has made a correction in my life, because there was something inside of me that wanted to take the credit for doing what I could not do and what God did. See, God came down and He blessed the work of my hands and He caused it to prosper. But Johnny, I wanted to take all the credit for that. And I would go to bed angry because they didn't give me any credit at all. See, I had a boss that was going to heap all of that credit onto herself. And you know what? That wasn't right. But you know what was even wronger than that? That I craved desire to let it everybody be known, this is what Kelly May did, and I did it, and I worked hard, and I did this, and I did that. See, you have to be able to get over what you did to get what He is. You have to be able to get over what you did to really receive who He is in your life, because you know what? That well, if you're going to take credit, that well can just dry up. Look here, I began to dry up from the inside out. I was so bitter over that experience that I went through. And you know, one of the reasons why I was bitter is because I gave the devil that foothold in my life. I opened that door and the devil came in and he would just get me angry. I would have just fits of anger and rage because, see, I felt like somebody was doing me wrong. Look here, you feel like somebody's doing you wrong? You give God credit. You give God credit. You say, you know what, God? I'm doing everything I can do. I feel like I'm being mistreated. God, I just want to thank You for helping me. See, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. I let it eat me up from the inside out. Don't do that. Don't do what I did. Give God credit. I couldn't say no. It was God. God gave me that wisdom. God gave me that knowledge. God gave me that ability to get my employers that. See, I couldn't do it at that time. I could sit and have tea and crumpets with them now and be like, God did the whole thing. Pass the tea and pass the crumpets. Why? Because, see, when God had to correct me, I knew I was being corrected. Will God correct you? Yes, He will. Why? Because He loves you. Don't make God have to correct you over giving Him credit. That's why I don't take the credit here. Because, see, that did not serve me well. I don't want what's not mine. Are you following me this morning? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. But with humility comes wisdom. You want to be your most successful? Get the most humble that you've ever been. You want God really blessing your life? Get more humble than you've ever been. I've had people say, can you even take a compliment about the food ministry at all? There's a fine line. Why? Because, Rita, I don't want the glory that God should get. I usually say something like, you know what, I'm so blessed that God did that through Paris Christian Center. But make no mistake, God did every bit of it. He did every bit of it. God has held me up when I could not have been up by myself. And I have stood in hard places that I wanted to just run from and see God. God said, Kelly, if you run now, it's not going to be good over here at this part of your life. You just stay right there. Many months ago, I was thinking about the Manna Center, and there were some things that I was upset about with people. And he said, Kelly, when that Manna Center is done, there ain't a person, one, going to be able to take credit for what I did over there. Don't worry about those people. Don't worry about that. I'm going to build my house. Amen. God will build his house. God will build you. But you best give him the credit. How many of you know C.C. Winan? I was watching Joyce the other day. How many of you know Joyce Meyer? I love her. She's the only 80-year-old woman that I know got a tattoo at 80. Two of them. Now, if you're religious right now, you're getting offended, and I will shut up because I don't want to get you offended at 15 till, okay? Take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. C.C. Winan, she's a singer, and she got an award. And this is how really men and women of God really should be. You want to be powerful in your life, you make powerful moves. She goes up to the podium, gets her little flashy award, and she starts singing, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Not, oh, I'm so great. I've kept up with everything all these years. I can sing till the cows come home. No. She got her award that man gave her. Why? Because, see, God gave her the ultimate reward, which is the ability to reach people and get them into heaven. That's what it's really about. When you want to heap on that credit for what you think you did so great, what you need to ask yourself is, could I have done this without God? No, see, God put talents inside of you. You'll either use them for him or you won't. But you're going to choose. Do you allow your pride to say that you did this or that you did that? A lot of people seek notoriety and want to take credit for God's works. People that do that are very insecure. Train yourself to give God the credit. I knew God wanted me to minister on seeking notoriety because on two different occasions, it stood out to me so bad, and I just wanted to puke when people did it. I was like, ugh, I wish people wouldn't do that. We were in the food line. And I got my best pastor smile out when I'm out there. Now I'm really, be quiet, Johnny. I'm trying. Because you know what? Here's what I know. If any nonsense is going to take place, it's going to be on Wednesday at 12 o'clock out in the parking lot. And so I'm trying to be real political, which I hate being. And I'm trying to smile. And here comes this car with this guy in there. This was a couple weeks ago. Jim, I hope I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to tell this story because it's hilarious. Jim's like, oh, great. Jim is very instrumental in our Wednesday food distribution, and we couldn't do it without him. He's a blessing. Amen. He goes, who's that guy at the road? I said, oh, that's Jim. That's my best friend's husband. Her name is Jen, and her husband's name is Jim. She goes, and then he starts griping about Jim, griping about the food, griping about all of it. And this church is like my baby. You don't talk about my church, because the devil will come out. It's just not good. And I was like, trying to digest that. And then he said the magical words, and I just couldn't help myself. He goes, "Well, I'm a pastor." Well, that's what's wrong with you. So then I just went to the window, didn't I, Sherry? And I just lined him out. Up one end and down the other. All while smiling with my pretty hair smiling. Because here's what I know. I don't care if you're a pastor or the president of the United States. When Jim tells you to do something on the Wednesday food distribution, you're going to listen to Jim. Because guess what? He's the one that's giving you the instructions to stay safe. And then I thought about that all night, and I thought, what is wrong with that guy? I would never have acted like that and admitted to be a pastor all in the same episode. Because I thought, if you're really a pastor, what you should know is that your butt should be out here helping us. Not griping about you didn't get here, get in the line fast enough. But he really wanted to, he made very well known that he was a pastor. And I was sitting there going, please don't tell that to anybody. You're making all the rest of us look terrible. Don't tell that to people with that attitude. Ain't nobody getting saved with that. I said, well, sir, you've mentioned several times that you're a pastor. So, from pastor to pastor, I'm just going to ask you to be grateful. Get that spirit of thankfulness up inside of you. And be thankful. I said, let's look at Jim. He got up early this morning, and he went and got all this food for you as the pastor that you are. Now have a good day. Hallelujah. I don't want to hear what you are or what you think that you are, because really at the end of the day, you're just a person. Yes. Right? Let's stop seeking notoriety. And I did this and I did that. What did Jesus say? I didn't come here to be served, but I came to serve. I didn't come here to put all the attention off on me. Look here, it don't matter what you are. You give God the credit for what he did in your life. Amen. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to look at verse 27. It is not good to eat too much honey, nor is it honorable to seek one's own glory. Don't eat too much honey. Get yourself a bellyache. But also, don't seek your own glory. How many of you know people, they're only seeking their own glory all the time? It ain't good. Was buying a car. Well, I was trying to help Mother buy her car. And I was calling around. If you ever want to buy a car, here's what you need to do. You need to call everybody. And you need to figure out, and you need to play them all against each other, and you need to figure out who's going to give you the best deal. Well, here's the best way that you do that. You get rid of all the little guys, and you say, I want to talk to the general manager. Because, see, I don't want to have a bunch of back-and-forth nonsense, because I don't have time for that, because I've done called 6 other of your competitors. I want to talk to the main guy. They put the main guy on there. I said, here's what my trade-in's going to be. Mama drives this, blah, blah, blah. He said, well, what do the other places say that they're going to give you for the trade-in? I said, well, I would be stupid to tell you that. I'm not telling you that. He said, ma'am, you just so happen to be talking to the general manager of the whole place. I don't know who that you think that you are. Mr. General Manager John, let me enlighten you on who I am, since you've made it so well known who you are. I am a buying customer, not just a customer that's shopping. there's a difference. And I don't appreciate how you've talked to me as a customer. And guess what? I won't be buying anything from you today or ever. Because I don't like general managers that talk to their customers like this. Goodbye and have a nice day.
Frank's looking at me like, God, what did I marry?
I said, baby, that's how you do it. Look here. We actually bought two cars because Mr. General Manager cared so much more about being a general manager. He didn't get those sales. Sometimes you're going to do without just because you wanted the credit for who you think that you are. That don't work. That doesn't work. Proverbs 25, verse 27. It's not good to eat too much honey, and it's not honorable to seek one's own glory. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Not praise you, but praise your Father in heaven. May they see your good deeds and may they praise God about it. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 1 through 8. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. See, what are we doing things for? Are we doing it to be seen by men or to be seen by God? But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Last place for me, James chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. I want to encourage you this morning, live your life in such a way where you don't heap on God's glory and God's credit. It belongs to him. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. And I would also like to invite everybody to go see that gorgeous ice maker that we've got back there. It is making the cutest little ice cubes I've ever seen. I took a picture of that thing and I sent it to somebody. I said, this is the newest member of Paris Christian Center. I'm glad y'all can laugh. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person, Lord, that's heard this message today. God, I thank you for everything that you have done in all of our lives. God, may we be smart enough to give you the credit for those things, God. In Jesus' name, amen.